Hello. I hope you're well. I am so excited to be chatting with you. It has been a minute. I'm well. I hope you are too. Welcome. Thank you for joining. My name's Holly. This is a knitting podcast where I talk about my 12-step recovery, and for me, that's Al-Anon. So I just want to encourage you to take what you like and leave the rest. Yeah, things have been really good, and it's I'm out of practice, so I'm rambling a bit. But the best news is that we got a puppy, which is why I haven't really been podcasting. Things have been a little bit crazy, but it's also the perfect time to do this. My kids are home for the summer. I'm in summer mode as well. I'm just teaching a summer class, but it's very manageable, so it just felt like a really good time. And you know, our puppy, our previous dog passed away last year, so we were just ready. We were ready to have all the craziness. So yeah, it's been a really great summer so far. It's been really, you know, the best kind of summer. It's been both incredibly slow and languid and lovely, and then also kind of frenetic and filled with change because of the puppy. We did a little bit of travel, but honestly, we're too tired to do too much. And some of the plans we had did get canceled for COVID. Like, my kid was at a summer camp that got shut down because of a COVID outbreak, so that was a bummer. It's kind of, ugh, it's still here. Anyway, this is a knitting podcast, so I'm going to shift gears and start talking about that. So I think what I'm going to chat about today is, just summer knitting, which is a little weird. I'm a year-round knitter, and so summer knitting, usually, even in DC where it's 1,000 degrees and 100% humidity, I'm always knitting. And I like to knit a big summer shawl every summer. This year's summer shawl is the Lune shawl by Moonstruck Knits. It's mosaic knitting, so I'm kind of counting it still as a color work project for my year of color work. It's really working up. I'm really close to the end. It's a three-part, I've been thinking of it as a three-part shawl. You sort of knit it from side to side, and then you pick up stitches along one edge and knit out from there. So it kind of grows in these two different ways. And the pattern's pretty ingenious because, of course, there's two different stitch patterns and there's gauge issues. It's been challenging. It's not a simple knit, I'll be honest. It was for the first part of it, knitting side to side. I was kind of like, why were people complaining about this on Ravelry? I don't understand. Always trust the group conscience. By the time I picked up stitches, I started to understand why people were saying it was such a challenging knit. It really has put me to the paces. So the big overall lesson here in all of my summer knitting projects is stitch markers, stitch markers, stitch markers. If you do not use stitch markers, which I didn't for a very long time, which is kind of mind-boggling to me, oh my word, invest in some. They're not really expensive. You can get really cheap ones. You can get really gorgeous ones. So it's up to you. If you're like, you like the bling, there's certainly a lot of great options out there. But I really like those light bulb shaped ones. But I also like the kinds that just slip on, the little round metal ones that slip on your needles. Anyway, I'm rambling, but stitch markers have helped me keep count with this. My friend called it a giant shark of a shawl. It's on a 50-inch cable needle, like a interchangeable, and it's bunching. It's gonna be big. It's gorgeous. I'm really happy with the colors. My friend gifted, was de-stashing and just gave me two of these merino singles. I managed at one of the fiber fairs to find the third color, so it's really working up nicely. I'm really happy with it. It's slow going. That's my evening knit with the kids. We're watching, a million movies. And it's been really nice to be on the couch. And of course, the first lesson I taught the puppy was don't eat the yarn. Never eat the yarn. And thankfully, he's been pretty good about that. He also is not scared of the sound of the sewing machine. So all is well so far. Yay. On my second project, and this one, Ooh, I didn't think it would be so challenging. It's the moss. Oh gosh, what is it called? It's the grid moss stitch. Oh, it's from Modern Daily Knitting, when they used to be Mason Dixon Knitting. Thank goodness they changed their name. But it's from their original book, and it's made out of this Euro flax linen yarn. And it's a dish towel. It's like a super fancy dish towel. And it's a grid pattern with moss stitch. So it's something like, I can't remember the name. I'm so sorry. I'll tag it somehow. There's not really show notes. There's a transcript, so I'll insert it in the transcript. But it was a nightmare. Like, first of all, it was from a really, you know, the knitting book I think came out in like 2003, 2000, maybe even earlier than that. And so it didn't have a chart, which was shocking to me, but whatever. It was just line directions, line by line instructions, which was really flummoxing me because I had to have the pattern with me and I really needed to be paying attention to it. Because it's moss stitch. I don't know if you've ever done moss stitch, but it can be hairy. And especially if you're doing moss stitch back and forth, like straight knitting, because it's not as intuitive as you think. At least it wasn't as intuitive for me. So this pattern was really kicking my butt. And I wanted to use this yarn because I remember when I first bought this book, I remember looking at this pattern. I actually made, there's two dish towels in the pattern. I made the first one, the chevron stripe one. It was back when I was a subscriber to Rowan magazine. I'm really dating myself here. And when you subscribe to Rowan, they would send you yarn for a mini project. And they had sent me a kind of linen yarn, which I used to make their chevron stripe dish towel, not a Rowan pattern, but from this book. And it's held up beautifully since then. I mean, it's linen, right? Linen does that. But I remember that the yarn they call for is Luette wet spun linen. And it's very expensive. I remember just gawking at the price when I was in grad school and I bought this book and I was like, who would pay this much money for a dish towel? Holy moly. And so fast forward to me, anytime I'm in my Upcycle Creative Reuse Center near me, thank goodness we have this place. It's such an amazing resource. But there's sometimes this wet spun linen in the D-Stat, like in the Upcycle, available for like $1, $1.50. And I'm always, I think the inner grad student in me still is like, oh my God, must hoard the linen yarn. And so I've been, every time I'm there, I just pick up whatever skein they have of it. If they have it, it's like one of the things I always buy if it's there. I always buy Lopi yarn and I always buy this Euroflex linen. Because of course linen is, I don't know, it's incredibly resource intensive to make. It's like one of those fibers that uses up so much water. And so just to see it not being used is, and it's of course such a lovely, lovely fabric. It lasts forever. So it is in some ways really eco. If you make something you love and you can use it forever. So a dish towel is not a terrible idea for this fabric. And so anyway, I have this one skein of this very beautiful sea green yarn. And so I'm making, I was like, oh, I can finally make the dish towel from their pattern in the yarn they called for because of this Upcycle place. So I dug out the book. Actually, I think I gave the book away years ago. So I checked it out of the library and it was kicking my butt. I was just like, what the heck? How did I do this in the past? But again, here's the secret. I finally just scrapped the pattern and put in stitch markers for each of the grid of the moss stitch. So now it's super intuitive. I don't even need to look at anything. I can just use my stitch markers and know, oh, here's what I'm doing for each little motif. And it's been sailing off the needle since then. I think I'm gonna finish it like within 1 or 2 days, which is lovely. I'm so excited. I think it might even, it's so nice. The linen yarn is so nice. I think once it washes up and softens up, it'll be a really nice present. I might give this to my mom, although she likes blue more than green. I digress. Anyway, so I've just been making this dish towel and the stitch markers have totally saved me. So I have one final summer project that has also been kicking my butt. And this one is the Marie socks. By Yuka Knits, that's it, my favorite sock designer. It's an absolutely stunning pattern. If it's got, it does this brilliant thing where it takes one of the stitches and it like crisscrosses them, so it's not quite smocking. It looks a little bit like the wool and honey motif by Andrea Mowry. If you know that sweater, it's a sock pattern that does that. And I don't want to reveal the secrets, but it's brilliant the way this sock designer deals with that stitch motif in a sock so that you're not getting an overly tight sock. It's just a really fabulous pattern. It is also not mindless knitting. It is like kicking my butt. These socks are taking 2 months. The yarn is absolutely beautiful. It's this rich red color by, unfortunately, a dyer who I don't think is dyeing anymore, the Sanguine Griffin. But again, I got it at Upcycle for like $2. The yarn is stunning, and it's looking so gorgeous in these socks. So, you know, midsummer check-in, literally the dog days of summer over here with the puppy. But my three projects, none are simple, but they're going well. I do have one last simple project for like when I'm on a Zoom meeting, and it's another sideways easy breezy sweater. I think I made the Careless cardigan last summer, 2 summers ago. Again, it's out of a weird rayon yarn that I found at Upcycle. So I'm just doing the same thing, only I'm making it like a duster length, a lot longer. It's a weird yarn. It's very metallic. It's kind of looking like chainmail. So we'll see. One, I'm playing an epic game of yarn chicken, which is why I'm kind of slowed down on that project, even though it's simple stockinette. I'm a little nervous. Two, it's shiny and looks like chainmail, so I'm kind of like, meh, am I ever going to wear this? I'm not sure. So a lot more of my creative energy has been going towards the shawl, the towel, and the socks. Other than that, it's been, you know, I've finished up a huge work project, so I'm really enjoying having this ability to rest, but also be engaged, and knitting's doing that, the puppy's doing that. It's so hot here that I feel like I'm really grateful for my air conditioning and my boring schedule that's, you know, allowing me to just putter a bit this summer. It's not the most exciting summer, but we're definitely resting, and we're totally, you know, I can feel the call of back to school sort of right around the corner. We're just about to have to start thinking about it. And so these weeks feel really delicious and empty and kind of lazy. So thank you so much for listening. I hope you're really well. Everything's going, you know, pretty great here, and I hope that you too are having a great summer. I hope that you are finding some serenity in whether your summer's super busy or whether your summer's really chill. I'm hoping that you're finding a lot of time to enjoy it, and I hope you have beautiful materials to work with, and I hope that you're making really great progress on your summer knitting, and I hope you're using stitch markers, and if you aren't, you should learn from past me. They make all the difference. So that's it for now. I hope you're well, and I will check in with you soon. Bye.